There you go. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Oh,
teacher,
yeah. Welcome to the Mobile Literary Festival. The first one, you are, what do they call it? Members of the first class. the first class of the first annual festival, we hope. Yes, we hope. Today, we're going to talk about self-publishing in a nutshell. Which is going to be very interesting. It was an interesting topic to me. I was asked to do it, and I learned some things that I didn't know, and I'm happy to share it with you. First, I'd kind of like to get an idea of where y'all are, so I think it'll help me make sure that I give you relevant information. How many people are have never published at all? Okay. How many have self-published? Okay, a few of those. And how many have traditionally published? Hold up your book. We're all writers, and we have this disease called read my book, please. Right? Okay. Any mixed? Hybrid authors? Okay. Paid to publish, okay.
Yeah.
All right, there's a word for that, and we'll talk about that.
I write nonfiction, and so I was contracted to write a book. And so
okay, so this is a whole different area. Yeah. There are so many choices now. We're extraordinarily lucky because 10 years ago, the only option that we had was the traditional route. Hi, come on in, welcome.
I know I'll run around, but I just want to come listen for a few minutes, if that's
sure.
Okay.
Of course.
I don't want to have to leave after a little while. It's not because I'm not interested.
Thank you.
I just have to be somewhere
Thank
else.
You for telling me and protecting my little ego.
That's the mayor of Mobile.
Do what?
He's the mayor of Mobile.
Oh, your honor, you're welcome. Please be welcome. Okay, 10 years ago, we were all stuck in this narrowly owned scope of you must go through the big five publishers. Does everybody know who the big five are? HarperCollins, Macmillan, Penguin and Random House, who've merged, Simon and Schuster and Hatchet. And actually, some people have said Amazon is moving into to make it six again. Those are the big guys in the publishing world, and for years and years they guarded the gates. To get to them, you had to go through a literary agent, and it became so many people were trying to do that the literary agents then became they were screeners for the publisher, and then there's now another step where there are people that help you find an agent, because that's gotten so hard and so competitive. So that's been the traditional world for years and years. And one thing changed it all. One little breakthrough completely turned the world of publishing upside down, and it's still going on today. And that little thing was something called POD. I assume you all know what that is, but just in case you don't, it's called publishing on demand. And all that is only a technology. Okay, get it out of your heads that's a publisher. No, that's a way to publish. And all it is just, you have your computer in your lap and your laptop and your printer. That's what it is, but on a commercial level. So they print the book all at one time. In traditional, what they call a print run or offset printing, which is also just a type of printing, this is the traditional way where they go and make one page and another page and so forth, and they will print your book, but they print the whole thing in a run. So like a minimum order for doing that might be 1,000 books. A mid-sized to upper-level publisher, at least 10,000 And the price per book is cheaper than print on demand. Okay, because they're doing a whole bunch of them at one time. But then you have the problem of, what do I do with these 10,000 books in my in my living room? Okay, so then you have to store them, and the big publishers, of course, they have storage facilities. So all of this is why POD makes a really good sense if you're going to look at self-publishing, although you have the choices. So let me go back a little bit and catch up with my notes. What does self-publishing mean? Oh my goodness, you'd think you would know what that means, right? But we've had somebody mention that they paid to get their book published. Okay, that's called Vanity Press, all right? And that's been around for a long time too. But then there's a whole spectrum. And I would say probably at one end would be Vanity Press. A Vanity Press, you'll see them online all over the place. You do pay them, but they will do whatever services that you want. The cover, the layout, what they say editing. and then they will produce your book, and they'll give you these days they probably will set you up for print on demand, or you can do a run, I don't know. So that's one level. And then it starts getting, it goes from there to what is generally called hybrid publishers. Okay. So your hybrid publishers will be kind of a mix of some traditional and some not. They are more particular about the book than the vanity. Let me just say it clearly. A vanity press is a business that publishes books. Okay, they will take anything. They don't care, right? All they do is say, you want us to be published? That's what we'll do. There you go. So a hybrid publisher is more selective. And they want a product that they can work with and that they feel will be successful. And you may pay them also for doing the services. Until you get to this higher level of publishing, you're going to pay for those services, including if you self-publish. So those services would be, again, book cover, editing. Only the hybrid publisher offers probably a more serious level of editing. Layout, because you can't just take your book and your Word document and make it into a book. It's got to be graphically laid out in some way. All right, so that's hybrid publishing. And then you have all kinds of levels of traditional publishing. So we know the big five at the top, and in between that and hybrid are a whole range of publishers. My first book, Noah's Wife, was published by one of these small presses, is what we call them. Press or house or publisher, those are all the same words. Although a printing press is something different. Traditionally, a publisher would print their own books, right? They have it all in-house. Nowadays, sometimes they shop it out to a printer. But Noah's Wife was first published by a small little press in Arizona, and they used POD, Publishing on Demand. So what that does is it makes them, they don't have to put out the high cost of printing 1,000 to 10,000 books at a time and storing them. All that costs money. That's why publishing has been so limited. The hose has been so narrow, because it takes money on the front end to publish a book. Okay, you can use the same technology. Okay, so y'all, I forgot to tell you, y'all have to help me stay on track. You have to pay close attention and tell me where I was. Okay, so I got this book published. I didn't really know any better, and they offered very little in terms of marketing. They put it on their website. They did some social media things for me, but that was about it. So most small publishing, when you go, if you're looking for that, you need to find out, what do they do for you? Okay, do they design the cover? In my case, my sister designed this cover, and we really liked it, and I talked the publisher into letting us use it. So I'm really proud and glad of that. Now, this is what happened. I'm just telling you this so you can have an idea of what kind of things go on here. In the recession, my publisher went under. Okay. Oh my gosh, what do I do with my book? My baby. And so I started looking into self-publishing it, because here's an important thing to know. The average number of books for a self-published author is 200, some people say two to 500 books sold. If you're in a commercial zone in your head. Let me back up and say, it is perfectly legitimate, and I encourage you all, if you are interested in just getting your family history or stories for your family and friends, it's perfectly legitimate to self-publish that. That's cool, yes. Wonderful tool you didn't ever have before, and now you can do it. But if you're in that mind zone, I still encourage you to make it as good as you can. But if you're in a commercial mind zone, if you're like, well, I don't know, maybe, I would like to have it go further than that if possible, then you need to really pay attention to the ins and outs of how to do this. And for the sake of the craft, please make it as good as you can, because self-publishing has a bad rap. When you say you're self-published, sometimes people go, oh, you're not really a writer. Okay, folks, this is changing. But it's changing because writers are starting to get it, that self-publishing is legitimate, and that the quality of the product can be equal to anything the Big Six puts out. Okay, it can be, but guess who's in charge of making that happen? We are. Okay, so I went off on an adventure of printing this, and that's why I was asked to talk, because I've been both traditionally published and I've got, I haven't been into the Big Six, okay? I've been to the top of right under that. And the top of right under that, anything that's not those five publishers, I keep saying six because it was six for years and years, anything that's not those are called independent publishers. There's so many words around here. Okay, independent publishers are different than independent authors. Do I need to say that again? Because that took me a while to wrap my head around this. An independent publisher and an independent author are two different things. An independent or indie author is a self-published author. An independent publisher is any publisher besides the Vanity Press that is not one of the Big Five. Is that confusing? Okay, so it's perfectly cool to look for an indie press to publish your book. And that's really considered traditional publishing. Okay. I hope I have not. Okay, so where are we? I want time for questions and stuff. Okay, let's kind of look at some of the should and shouldn'ts now that we kind of know where we are. But first I want to say that the number of self-published books in the last five or six years has grown 375%. That's the number of them. People are discovering this technology and this way to do things, and we are growing very quickly. There were 727,125 ISBN. That's another number, another initial to throw out with you, but it's just kind of your book number. In the book world, your book gets a number. That's just in 2005. And that's underrepresented because you don't have to have an ISBN. But let me encourage you to do it. It's very simple to do that. Okay. Should you be an indie author? If your dream is to have your book in bookstores across the country, then my answer to you is very simple. No. No, because you're not going to go there being an indie press. There are exceptions. Tiny, tiny. Okay, very tiny. But in general, the way that the publishing world works is bookstores are in the realm, they're really the territory of the big five, to be honest with you. Now, some bookstores will carry some of the upper level indie presses, but that doesn't mean you can't get your book in a local bookstore. But the way you do that is you do it on consignment. So you have to go to the bookstore and say, would you carry my book? And you sign an agreement with them. And that cuts out their cost of having to get the book and send it back if it doesn't sell. Bookstores have a very limited area that they can sell books on. And so there's an old deal with the big publishers that goes back to the 1920s during the Depression, where the publishers, in order to keep the bookstores alive, because that was they didn't have online anything back then, right? So their whole industry was based on the bookstores, and in order to keep the bookstores were going, we can't take the risk of buying these books and then they don't sell. So the publisher said, we'll take the risk. When you buy a book from us, you can keep it for 120 days. That may not be the right number, but I think it is. 120 days, and if it doesn't sell, you can send it back to us and we'll return the part, what you cost of what you did. Okay, whoa! That's a pretty big risk, right? And once again, you had to have a lot of money to be able to make that work. And that tradition remains with us today. It's called a return. So even if you're self-publishing your book, if you want somebody in Washington State to be able to go into their bookstore and say, "No, I heard about this book here, can you get it for me?" Then they will not order it unless you have a policy on that book that gives them a right to return the book. Okay, so keep that in your mind. Okay, so that's the deal. And you know, bookstores are having a real tough time. Barnes & Noble and Waterstones are barely getting by, they say. I've read different things. Some say the publishers are doing great. Well, that's the publisher. Bookstores, not doing good. Borders collapsed. It's a strange world right now. It's turning upside down. Nobody knows where it'll go. All right. If you self-publish, these are things against self-publishing. You will have the responsibility and cost of doing everything. Okay, so what I'm talking about, the cover design, editing, all that stuff, you've got to find somebody to do that. And you can. Thank you for stopping in.
Maybe when I'm out of politics, I'll be ready to self-publish.
Good for you.
Good luck to you.
Thank you. Okay, so it's your responsibility to do everything. You got to take that on, and that's, you know, it can be overwhelming. But there are places and people where you can go online, I promise you, and say book editing, and you will be overwhelmed. Okay, or you know, layout services or whatever. Traditional publishing deal allows you a broader reach. Unless you already have fans, this is important, it's tough to build an audience. Now we're going to have kind of answers to strategies for all these things, but these are the cons against doing it yourself. Here's another one, and this is what I looked at with Noah's Wife. If you self-publish your first book, and then you want a traditional deal, you could be putting yourself in a corner. Right? Why? Because the publishing industry they've started looking at the indie world. And if you have a book that's been out there, and let's say you sold 2,000 books, hey, that's pretty good, right? Okay, I think I've sold at least 3,500 of Noah's Wife. It's been out for a while. But when they look at my sales for Noah's Wife, number one, they go look at is it Bowker that counts them? Somebody help me. Starts with a B. Anyway, there's a counting service. They go look at how many books have you sold in the last 2 years. Now, first of all, a book has an arc. Okay, it's gonna sell like this, and then it's gonna peter out. Hopefully, it does. You know, it levels out somewhere like this. But that's not a lot of sales. And I started asking, I asked my agent, what are they looking for? That what's the magic number? And I was told 10,000. Okay. So just keep that in mind. We're experimenting to see what happens if you have a debut book in a totally new genre. That might be different. But they will look at your book. So you might want to think about giving the traditional route a shot first. Or not. Because there's other news.
Are you talking about you want to traditionally publish one that's already been published indie or a different one?
Either way
they still look.
They still want to look and see. What they're looking for is what kind of audience do you have. Okay, so if you're a debut author, if this is your first book, you actually have a better shot. I hate to say that, but that's true. Because then they're gambling on an unknown. But if you've got a book out and it's done what they consider poorly, then they're like, oh, no, not going there. And they may base their entire decision on that. It's just, you know, it's kind of cold and hard, but that's the truth. Okay, now, what are some reasons to do it? I've already said, if your goal is to produce something that you want to be proud of and you want to give it to your friends and families, that's perfectly legitimate reason, and I would not try to go find a publisher for that. I mean, you could, but you could also do it yourself. Okay, royalties. A traditional upper-level indie, again, this varies, but upper-level indie, or even the difference between, no, that's not true either. Okay, so the big five traditionally gives advances to authors. They're advances against royalties, meaning they won't take it back from you, and I would say an average first-time author these days is now probably about $10,000. Okay. Now, as you go move upper indie, you might find that deal too. But as you go into the mid-level publishing, down to the small press, that will decrease significantly. And when you get to the small, I got no advance up front for Noah's Wife. And there's a lot of them out there and it's trending toward that. However, when that happens, you should get higher royalties. The royalty is the amount that they give you for per sale. And please, if you're looking at that number, be aware that some publishers, and especially the small ones like to do this, will give you a net royalty. Run away. Do not take a net royalty on anything.
What does that mean?
It can mean different things depending on what they want it to mean. But what you're looking for is you want a percentage off the retail sale. Okay? So Noah's Wife retail sales for $16.95. So I want, depending on what level I'm at here, I want at least 10% off the retail. It can go up higher when you start going down. It's kind of inverse. The further down you go on the scale of the publisher, the lower the royalty rate. But at some point, you get that advance against the royalty rate. And for the upper levels, 10% is about normal, and then sometimes you'll get a deal like 10% until you sell the first 5,000 or 10,000 books, and then you might get a higher royalty off of that, so they can make their money back, sort of like a mortgage on a house, you know, where they take the interest up front. Okay. So on the lower end, you might get as much as 40. If it's 40% against the retail value, that's a pretty good deal. Okay. If it's on a net value, you really, your antenna needs to go up and you need to be very careful. Some publishers will say it's the retail cost minus the cost of the book, minus my marketing, minus so-and-so, and that's the net. So they'll define it in different ways. That big 40% may become something like 5% or 8% or whatever. Figuring it that way. So, I am going all over the place here. Okay, obviously if you self-publish, you don't have an advance unless you have a bank account and want to give yourself some money. Okay, so your royalty can be bigger with your royalty, if you self-publish, your royalty is going to be somewhere around 50%. Because that takes into account, subtracting the cost of producing the book and all that kind of stuff. But then, of course, you're also responsible for any marketing costs that you do.
That's what you miss out on. If I self-published with Kindle and CreateSpace.
Do what?
I said I self-published with CreateSpace and Kindle for the hardback and the Kindle. And I make like a 25% on one and 35-36% on the other.
Okay.
There's no market.
No market, right.
No marketing.
No marketing,
so I
right.
I haven't been able to do much.
So some of that depends on what you're paying for those services, because even on CreateSpace, you can go all the way, I think, from free to...
anything.
Yeah, you didn't pay anything. And you're on...
$10.
I'm not sure I understand. Let's talk afterwards. I'm not sure I understand how that can come out to be like that for you.
I didn't come up with any money at all, because I couldn't have done it.
Quite a few people use CreateSpace.
Yes, I know.
So, yes.
I know. Okay. I'll tell you how I did it, and then let's see. Okay, the other thing is you have flexibility in how you want to publish your book. Remember, POD is a technology, okay? So you can start out by doing a run of books if you want. Okay, 10 minutes. 10 minutes? Oh my gosh. All right, let me say, go through this really, really quickly. So another advantage is you can see your book in print in a reasonable amount of time. If you go traditional, if you have to get an agent, it can take you up to a year to find an agent. It can take you up another year, take the agent up to a year, 6 months to a year to find a publisher. And then you go on the bottom of the list of publishing, it might be a year, even two, before your book gets published. Okay, that's the reality of that scenario. The other thing is, if you self-publish, your books have time to grow. And the number one advice that I have seen all over about if you self-publish, keep writing. Don't produce one, and you have that commercial, you want to be a professional. Keep writing, produce the next book and the next book. Series are a good deal. Romance is hot in many ways. But in the publishing industry, it's probably the top moneymaker out there. All right, this fascinates me. 98% of manuscripts submitted to agents never get published at all. Oh my gosh. 98%. So you have a 2% chance of going there. And today, more and more, even in the traditional world, the author is expected to market. Y'all are going to hear that again, I'm sure, today, so I'm not going to dwell on that. The top tier of self-published books are as good a quality product as those 2% that get published. Okay? That means that if you are going to self-publish and you will make sure your book is edited properly and put together properly and your cover looks good, your quality of product is just as good as theirs. It can be. Okay. This blew my mind. I got to tell y'all this. And I read it again this morning to try to see where the holes were in it. But it says, according to statistics, more self-published authors are making a living today than traditionally published authors.
Wow.
Okay, that kind of blew my mind, I'll tell you. The source for this, if you'll Google this, 2016 author earnings, that's for plural, report. And there are graphs showing all of this. But bear in mind that this is all on Amazon. Okay, this in-depth study was done all on Amazon. And in terms of number of books being successful, there are about 10% more indie than traditional, but they take that into consideration when it comes to people that are making a living off of that. Now, that said, please remember that very few people make that. All this is saying is that more people in the indie world are making a living than in the, and there are probably lots of different reasons for that. If you look, and when you look at those charts, they break it down into authors from the past 100 years and go down to the past 5 years, and you can see a big difference. And keep in mind that the back, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago, authors, when they got big advances, and they've had a chance to build their audience, and that's what this is all about, is building your audience. And I'm sure today you'll hear some ideas about how to do that. You can do that as an indie author. You can do that, but start now. Start building your email list. Do a blog and start getting people interested in you. It's the audience, and it's your responsibility, no matter what kind of author you are, to do that. In today's world, several successful indie authors are actually saying no to the big five. Whoa! Okay, and a lot of authors are, remember I told you there was hybrid publishing? There's also hybrid authors. So I'm a hybrid author. I bounce around, whoever, whatever. But so some of them are saying, once they're very successful and they can negotiate their contract, which is a little different from most of us peons, they're saying things like, I want to keep the Kindle, you can have the print book. Okay, and the publishing world is turning upside down, folks. Okay, so I'm going to stop, but does anybody have any questions? I can't believe no questions.
I've got your Harper Macmillan, Penn and Random, and Simon Schuster. Who was your last one?
Did you get all
of them? Harper, Macmillan, Penguin, Random House, Simon and Schuster, and Hatchet. Hatchet's the one that's been fighting with Amazon. Yes, ma'am.
I paid a publisher to do my first book, and I'm working on my second book.
Yes.
So is that as much of a hindrance as being self-published?
Yes.
In trying to get
it depends. Did you sell 10,000 books?
No.
Okay. So you have the same challenge.
Same challenge.
Yeah. And they will want to look and see who published you.
Okay.
Okay, and they know who the vanity presses are. But it's not, you know, you paid a publisher to do everything for you, right?
Right.
Okay. Then that's considered a vanity press for them. And they still turn their noses down a bit at that.
Okay.
Okay, so yeah, you've got that barrier.
I did have an interview with Zondervan,
mm-hmm.
and they said that my platform wasn't large enough, so they recommended David C. Cook or Harvest House for someone like myself.
That's perfectly fine. I don't know those two, so are they small?
Christian publishers.
Okay. Are they indie publishers?
No, I don't think so.
Are they?
They're regular publishers.
Okay.
Traditional publishers.
Traditional publishers? Well, try it. Don't give up.
Oh, no, I won't.
Yeah. yeah, I mean, this is not, I'm not trying to tell y'all not to do this. In fact, that's my plan. I'm gonna try. I'm going to send it out and see if I can't do that. But in the back of my mind, if I don't, I'll publish it myself.
Just the marketing that I found hard. I don't know much about it.
Yeah.
I let a guy from India do my book covers. They came out spectacular. $5 a cover. They were absolutely beautiful.
Oh my goodness. Would you find them on Fiverr or what?
Fiverr?
Yeah.
I didn't have any money. I did it on CreateSpace, the hard paperback, and I did Kindle. I did Amazon. It didn't cost me anything. And the book came out great. It looks professional. People are giving.
Are you POD? Good. Are you print on demand?
I don't know how they work it public.
Who's printing it?
Amazon prints the.
Okay, Amazon's printing it. Okay,
yeah,
so
CreateSpace does
Yeah.
Well, Amazon does the Kindle. CreateSpace does the paper.
I think CreateSpace uses print on demand. I'm pretty sure they do.
Who?
I think it's print on demand.
Oh, I'm pretty sure it is because I didn't go through it.
Yeah. So if you are thinking about doing your own, I recommend CreateSpace.
CreateSpace was good and it was easy.
Yeah.
And Kindle was easy.
But make sure, I was going to look into it if y'all just didn't have enough time, but I've seen some CreateSpace books where you have, they have like a space between paragraphs. Don't do that. You know. And they also, you can also buy some services from them, but shop around because if you're an indie author, you can find, you know, somebody.
That's going to be my question. Where do you shop around for a market?
For what?
Where's the best place to get some marketing tips or some?
Oh my gosh!
Person?
Okay, marketing tips. Dang, what is the?
Because that's what I need. Is the marketing end?
I have a place, and I'm sorry, I can't think of the name of where Creative Writers Win, I believe is the name of it. Creative Writers Win. I think that's the name of it. It's a very nice site, and they have a lot of helpful information. There's so many blogs about it. You can get lost if you start Googling. Yeah. But start there. I think Creative Writers Win, I believe is the name of it. Start there. And kind of start looking at some of the articles that's written on the subject matters that you're interested in. But I would recommend but one thing about CreateSpace, they're great if you just are just interested in Amazon. If you want your books to have a broader reach and be available, then you need to start looking at something like, there's a program called Indie Spark Publishing or Ingram Spark Publishing that offers all kinds of services if you're a serious author. Or there's Lightning Source. It's LSI. I can't remember what Ingram. They're all owned by Ingram which is the major distributor of books. And you get the most flexibility with LSI, with Lightning Source. There's some rumors out there that they're not taking one-time publishers anymore, but I've read that that's not true, so go find out. I'm gonna, yes ma'am.
Well,
I don't want to interfere with the next class, but what?
Was the word Ingram Spark, S-P-A-R-K?
S-P-A-R-K, yes. Ingram Spark Publishing. Take a look at their, what they have to offer. Create Space. Space is an instead. And then I found an article that said, really, you should do both. And do use that it's cheaper to use Create Space for Amazon than to use Ingram. But if you want to, your books available across the world, then you need to look at like Ingram Spark or LSI. Because Create Space does not play well with the world, just with Amazon. But that's the place to order your books from, is what that article said, that that's cheaper for you. Because you're going to be wanting books yourself to sell, to talk to. I hope I've been helpful to you guys. I'm here afterwards. Thank you. If you have any questions, come talk to me and I'll do my best.
One more quick thing. Y'all were talking about her, your book cover, and you said fiber?
Fiber.
F-I-V-E-R-R?
Oh, Fiverr. Oh. F-I-V-E-R-R. It's an unbelievable site. Read carefully about recommendations before you go, but it's a place where people for $5 offer different services all across the world.
A lot of things, if you look for the covers, they'll show you their artwork, so you can actually see their work.
Write down, do you remember who you used?
I can probably find out, but not often. No, it's been 2-3 years ago.
Okay.
But people really raved about the book cover. I wish I brought it. I didn't think about it. People raved about how professional it looked. It was beautiful. And the first one they did, I didn't like, and they redid it. And they didn't charge me anything else.
Did you give them the concept? Did you give them the concept?
Well, the book on marriage, and I wanted two people, and they gave me a silhouette with a sunset.
So you told them what you wanted it, and they did it.
No, I didn't. I just said I wanted people that weren't super young or super old. I wanted like 20-somethings looking at each other. That's all I gave them, but the guy did a super job.
Wonderful.
Really
wonderful.
Came out nice.
Are you part of this?
No, come here.
Would you like me to take the microphone stuff down?
Yes, turn me off.
Let me see. I don't know because I just got it.